We most cordially welcome you to the Dushniki Zdroj Papermaking Museum and invite you to accompany us on a journey into the fascinating history of paper. The paper mill in which the museum is housed is the only one of its kind in the world and is listed as a National Heritage Site. High-quality paper was first made on these premises prior to 1562, and as you will see during your visit here, the tradition continues to this day. We begin our journey at the entrance pavilion. This is a domed octagonal building. To enter, you need to cross a bridge over the Bystrytska Dusnitska River. The elaborate design in which manorial architectural elements are seamlessly interwoven with ingenious structural ornamentation reveals that this was not only a production facility, but an imposing residence for the owners as well. We get to meet the members of the two Dushniki Zdroj papermaking dynasties here. They're watching us from the original portraits hanging on the walls. The solemn men in black depicted in the first two paintings on the left are Kretschmers. This family owned and managed the mill for nearly 150 years, from the latter half of the 16th century to the early 18th century. They restored it after a disastrous flood and went on to build the reputation of the Dushniki Zdroj products. The Kretschmers became the local elite. Rudolf II of Habsburg granted them a coat of arms and later nobility. The next three portraits depict the Heller-Ossendorf line, which ran the mill from the early 18th until the early 19th century. During this time, the establishment was expanded and modernized, and the Prussian authorities granted the owners the title of Royal Papermaker. After the Heller-Ossendorfs, the mill passed to the Weers, who ran it until the 1930s. We will have more to say about them later during our visit. Let's leave the entrance pavilion and make our way to the first exhibition room via the door opposite the ticket counter. We are now in the first exhibition room. This was originally the mill owner's living room, and social life flourished here. A 16th century Renaissance stone doorway is all that remains of its former decor. However, there can be no doubt that the room was once graced with luxurious furniture and the walls adorned with landscapes or family portraits. The murmur of the nearby river could be heard from outside. The exhibition focuses on the early history of papermaking. As you stand facing the entrance, the objects you see displayed to the right of the doorway are the major writing materials that preceded the invention of paper: tapa cloth, papyrus, and parchment. These came from various parts of the world. There are two Polynesian tapa cloths hanging on the wall. The inner bark of several trees and bushes went into producing them. This material was commonly used in equatorial regions. The indigenous peoples used it to make clothing, decorations, and eventually for painting and writing. The display case on the right contains papyrus, another writing material that was once extremely common. Papyrus reeds have been placed next to the sheets made from this raw material. The ancient Egyptians used to cut it into strips. These were then interwoven to make an overlapping, cross-laminated fabric, which was beaten and pressed to make sheets. Papyrus contributed enormously to cultural development. The simple fact that the word for paper in many languages, including English and Polish, comes from papyrus, attests to its historical importance. The next writing material was parchment. In contrast to tapa cloth and papyrus, this was produced from the skin of calves, kids, and lambs. The process of producing parchment is shown with the aid of a skin unfurled over the display case. These materials were durable, but expensive. For this reason, parchment was mainly used in ecclesiastical and regal offices. The revolution came with the invention and dissemination of paper. Please turn right and go to the black and white portrait of the man behind the stone portal. This is Kai Lun, the Chinese official who invented paper. According to Chinese sources, he devised a method of making paper using a suspension of crushed fishing nets, hemp scraps, and the inner bark of trees in 105 CE. The production technique itself was extremely simple, thanks to the use of a floating paper mold. There is a model of this in the display case beneath the portrait of Kai Lun. The mold was placed on the surface of the water, and the pulp, which had been prepared earlier, was uniformly distributed in it. The mold was then taken out of the water and put aside to let the pulp dry. For a long time, paper was only manufactured in China. It was hundreds of years before the Arabs acquired the art from them, and it was they who brought it to Europe. If you turn right towards the display in front of the three windows, you will find a plaque with a large map of the Italian city of Fabriano, 200 kilometers north of Rome. Paper has been produced here since the 13th century, and the town is still known as a papermaking center. It is worth emphasizing that Italian papermakers quickly introduced a great many innovations. They were also the first to use wire fabric sieves, known as sheet molds. These can be seen in the display case to your right. These replaced the fragile and unequal cane and grass stalk sheet molds that had previously been used and made it possible to produce better quality paper. If you examine the sheet molds closely, you can see the next Italian innovation, the watermark. This is the wire pattern sewn into the mesh of the mold. The watermark this leaves is visible under light and serves as a company logo for the mill. Italian papermakers additionally employed a particularly useful machine. As there is a model of it behind us, let's turn around and examine it. This is a stamp mill, and it breaks up rags, the main material used in Europe, into pulp. Partially decayed fabrics, chiefly linen and hemp, were thrown into it, submerged in water, and beaten into pulp by noisy hammers. Significantly, the device was driven by a water wheel. This method launched the era of paper mills, which soon spread all over the continent. Now let's turn around and examine the display cases in front of the windows. The remarkable sheep and goat hoof exhibits are particularly attention-grabbing. These were once used in every paper mill, as skins and hooves contain gelatine, an adhesive liquid was obtained by boiling them. The dried-out sheets were then immersed in it. Glue particles penetrated the paper and filled the gaps between the fibers. This prevented ink from smudging and bleeding when writing. Interestingly, the animal remains and the rags for the mill all came from Dushniki Zdroj and environs. This was handled by merchants who specialized in this trade. The display case to the right of the hooves has a colorful 18th century illustration depicting a woman carrying a basket of rags on her back. However, it is worth pointing out that rags were most often brought to the mill, not by women, but by men, colloquially known as ragmen or rag and bone men. Women were mainly involved in sorting the rags and cutting out knots and clasps. Over time, paper became the major writing material, and after Gutenberg invented movable type, the major printing material as well. If you examine the display cases on the right, you can see copies of pages from the Gutenberg Bible, as well as the first book printed in Poland, an almanac, in 1474. Further to the right, there are examples of other uses of paper. The large wooden stencils for printing wallpaper hanging on the wall are especially interesting. This form of wall decoration became extremely popular in the 18th century. The constant increase in demand for paper made it a luxury item by the beginning of the 20th century. If you walk past the display cases on the right, you will come to a glass case with the document bearing the large inscription, Edict. It should be mentioned that rag shortages sparked numerous conflicts between papermakers. Accounts of rag theft trials loom large in 18th and 19th century European court reports. Some governments, in an attempt to remedy the problem, granted each paper mill the right to acquire rags over a specified area, while forbidding other papermakers from sending their ragmen there. Frederick II of Prussia adopted another solution. In 1777, the king issued an edict forbidding the exportation of rags, paper chips, parchment scraps, and other scraps of skin, sheep's feet, and other things used to make glue. The royal edict can be read in the display case. There was an urgent need to find a new material for making paper, one that was more readily available than rags. This led to the next breakthrough in the history of papermaking. But we will have more to say about this in room 4. Now, please go to the adjoining room via the stone portal. We are now in the second exhibition room. This was one of the owner's living quarters during the heyday of the Dushniki Stroy paper mill. Several elements of the decor serve as reminders of its residential past. The display case in the middle of the room contains beams covered with a polychrome. These come from the residential quarters of the floor above. The impressive and picturesque decorations on the walls and ceilings there, which were painted in the 17th and 18th centuries, have been preserved intact. You can see them for yourself by taking the art and money route, which also begins in the entrance pavilion. We encourage you to do so once you have completed this walk with us. The next authentic element can be seen behind the glazed toilet door. In those days, toilets were a rarity, except in castles and palaces. The toilet is shaped like a bay window and protrudes beyond the outside wall, and it does so by design, as it made all the waste fall into the mill race below. By contrast, the toilet paper you see in the protrusion is a modern addition. Those who used the toilet in the old days were deprived of this luxury. Toilet paper was first sold in the mid-19th century and came as sheets. Rolls became widespread much later. Getting back to the history of paper and examining the display, the theme of the exhibition in this room is papermaking in Poland and Silesia. Please return to the door through which you entered and look at the board to the left of it. The recess in the wall has an artistically designed page from a 17th century document that conveys the telling information: the craft of papermaking come to Poland in the year of our Lord 1491. The first paper mill in the Kingdom of Poland was built at that time in what is now the Krakow suburb of Prawdnik Czerwona. This was a very well thought out choice for the location of the country's first paper mill. The then royal capital guaranteed a market for paper in any quantity. For this reason, other paper mills soon opened in villages around Krakow. You can see sheets bearing the mill's watermark on the backlit panel. Paper from Prawdnik Czerwona can be identified by the sign the double cross. This was the emblem of the Order of the Holy Ghost, which owned the land the mill occupied. Please turn to your left and look at the large map of the first Commonwealth hanging on the wall by the window. This shows the proliferation of paper mills from the end of the 15th century until the middle of the 17th. Most of them were located in the vicinity of a large city. Apart from Krakow, these included Lviv, Vilnius, Poznan, and Gdansk. There was no shortage of mills in Lesser Poland, Greater Poland, and Pomerania. Turbulent Russia, by contrast, was a blank slate, and present-day Warsaw was similarly of little importance in this respect. The situation changed in the latter half of the 18th century, when the present-day capital of Poland flourished during the reign of Stanisław August Poniatowski. The king supported the building and operation of a paper mill in Jedziorna, near Warsaw, which gloried in being designated royal. There is a sheet mold from the Jedziorna paper mill on the wall on the other side of the window. Watermarks from other periods can be seen on the white charts underneath. There is even an armorial Polish eagle. It is worth mentioning that the Constitution of the 3rd of May was written on paper from Jedziorna, and that Poland's first banknotes issued in 1794 were printed on it. You can see original notes in the Polish paper money exhibition. The final part of the exhibition in this room is on the wall to your left. The exhibition briefly tells the story of papermaking in Silesia. Papermaking came here earlier than Krakow, when the first paper mill in what is now Poland was built in Wrocław in 1490. Mills commenced operation in Świdnica, Nessa, and Raciborska soon afterwards. It is interesting to note that these paper mills were not limited to producing writing paper. There is a copy of a sheet with uncut playing cards from the 16th century to the left of the white charts with the watermarks. Let's proceed to the adjoining room, the one with the portraits of the Dushniki Zdroj marriage of papermakers and the Dushniki Zdroj coat of arms. These date back to the time when the town bore the German name Bad Reinerz. The story of the Dushniki Zdroj paper mill is told in this small room. This exhibition is located in a very mysterious part of the building, one whose former function is still not completely clear. It is assumed to have been a kitchen, but why the walls and the vault are so thick and solid remains an unsolved riddle. According to one hypothesis, they were meant to counterbalance the huge water wheel that once sat on the outer side of the wall. If you stand facing the entrance, there is a color-coded diagram depicting the building of the paper mill to your right. This will enable you to trace the development of the mill over the centuries. As you can see, the complex comprises of two main buildings, the mill and an adjoining drying loft to the rear. The mill was erected first in the 16th century. The bottom brick stories are marked green. These survived a devastating flood at the beginning of the 17th century. The floor, the upper levels, and the roof, which was covered with shingles, wooden slats, were all restored. These parts of the building are marked red. The next major upgrade was made in the 18th century. The mill was first adorned with an impressive Baroque gable, colored blue on the diagram. The imposing wooden drying loft, colored purple, was built a little later. And the paper mill has survived in this form to the present day. It is worth mentioning that most of the technological processes involved in producing paper took place in the mill. This is where the rags were ground into pulp. The paper sheets were dried in the drying loft by being fixed to hangers on a rack, similar to those on the ceiling in the first two exhibition rooms. After a few days, the paper was ready for finishing and being sent out into the world. Customers could identify it by its distinctive watermark. You can see several versions of this in the recess to your right. The Prussian eagle and the German name for Dushniki Zdroj, Bad Reinerz, are visible on them. Most common, however, is the depiction of St. Peter holding a key. This can also be found on the paper currently made in our museum. A genuine sheet mold can be seen above the backlit panel. This was used in the Dushniki Zdroj paper mill at the turn of the 19th century. If you examine the display case to your right, you will see the earliest pictorial map of Dushniki Zdroj. This is dated 1737, and the mill appears on it. This is our first view of the Dushniki Zdroj paper mill. To the right is the Krešma coat of arms, presented by Rudolf II of Habsburg in 1607. Remember, the Kretschmers were the first dynasty of the Dushniki Zdroj papermakers. Next came the Heller Ossendorfs, and finally the Weers in the early 19th century. Mementos of the last family are displayed in the two rightmost panels. The Weers had to grapple with the changes that mechanizing production brought to papermaking. They carried on the tradition of molding paper into the 20th century, but were unable to compete with the large concerns of the interwar period. The black and white photograph is of Carl II Weir, the last owner of the mill. Weir sold it to the town in the hope that it would be made into a museum. He did not live to see this happen, as he died in 1941. The museum did not open until 1968, and papermaking only resumed 3 years later. The room in which you now find yourself is directly above the papermaking room. It was probably used for sorting and shredding rags in the old days. Right now, you can learn more about how papermaking was transformed from a handicraft into an industry. Please go to the large machine model in the middle of the room. At the turn of the 19th century, Europe was looking for new papermaking materials and ways to speed up production. The second problem was solved first. The first papermaking machine was invented by Frenchman Louis-Nicolas Robert in 1798. This is the model we have before us. While the size of a handmade sheet was restricted by the size of the sheet mold, Robert's machine could produce a strip of paper of theoretically unlimited length. The advantage was obvious. The machine was initially driven by a crank and was not all that much more efficient than working by hand. Paper was not produced significantly faster until the device had been perfected by the English. By way of comparison, approximately 3,000 sheets could be made manually during a 14-hour workday, which works out to 4 per minute, while a modern papermaking machine can now produce a strip of paper at almost 2 kilometers per minute. Something else of interest associated with machine-produced paper can be seen here, the powerful metal shafts to the left of the entrance door. The technical name for these is dandy roll. The surface is an embossed pattern that imprints watermarks on a wet strip of paper. If you go to the display cabinet with the tree stumps, you can see how papermakers responded to the 19th century rag shortage. Surprisingly, the idea came from wasps. The walls of wasp nests are built from plants and have a similar texture to paper. Please take a look at the nest in the cabinet. This was the prototype for plant-based paper. One of the first plant materials used for papermaking in Europe was straw, which you can see on the left of the display cabinet. However, it proved to be difficult to transport and was not very cost-effective. And to top it off, the quality of the paper made from it was poor. Wood eventually came to attention. Wood pulp began to be used for paper production sometime around the middle of the 19th century. There are two kinds in the middle of the display cabinet. Pulp was obtained by mechanically grinding wood. Wood pulp paper is prone to several defects, including tearing and yellowing. But scientists came up with a solution to these problems. Let's examine the display cabinet immediately to the right. The first three glass jars contain wood chips and cellulose fibers. Instead of grinding wood, much better results can be obtained by chemically treating small pieces of it to extract pure cellulose. This is now commonly used to make writing and printing paper. Cellulose is currently the basic material used in paper production. For ecological reasons, using waste paper is also a major issue. The fibers can be used 7 times. Around half the paper produced in Poland comes from waste paper. Moreover, paper is also produced from flax and cotton. Most banknotes, including Polish banknotes, are printed on cotton paper, as it is considerably more durable than wood pulp paper. Let's turn our attention now to the exhibits on the opposite side of the room, along the windows. This is one of Europe's largest collections of devices for examining paper properties. These tools gauge grammage, thickness, and resistance to tearing. Most of them have been superseded by electronic devices. You can watch a film on how a thickness gauge, a quadrant scale, and a device for measuring bending resistance work on the screen above the exit door. There is also a presentation of cellulose and paper production. We encourage you to watch these presentations and to familiarize yourself with the history of the Polish paper industry, detailed on the wall charts. Approximately 5 million tons of paper sheets of varying sizes are produced in Poland annually. This is about 1.5% of world production. After that, we invite you to the next room. This is the fifth exhibition room. The stairwell in the middle of the room leads to the papermaking room. Before making our way there, let's take a look at the exhibits on display here. These are devoted to paper processing and the uses to which paper is now put. Let's go behind the stairs and stand in front of the large black machine in the middle of the room. Paper has found many applications since its invention 2,000 years ago. Some of them have enjoyed continuous popularity to the present day, while others have been superseded by more modern solutions and consigned to oblivion. These changes are wonderfully illustrated by the machine in front of you. This is an envelope-making machine, and it is going on 100 years old. It takes individual sheets of paper, quickly folds them into envelopes, and glues them together. Envelopes were basic necessities until the end of the 20th century. Millions of people all over the world used them for their personal correspondence every day. However, the popularization of the telephone and the internet has brought about a decline in this practice. The display case, opposite the way down to the papermaking room, has a shaft that was used for ruling lines in school notebooks some 100 years ago. Notepaper is now lined using modern equipment, but our great-grandparents were taught to write in notebooks lined by hand. While the use of paper for writing and printing has declined in the 21st century, the production of paper for packaging, cleaning, and hygienic purposes has been on the increase and now comprises almost 80% of worldwide production. Paper toys and games are valued for ecological reasons. Artists use paper on a large scale, as you can see for yourself in many of the exhibitions in our museum. Finally, it's worth mentioning a particular paper product that is only made in Dužniki Zdroj. If you return to the door through which you entered the room, and then go to the display case under the window, the one that has a picture of an elephant above it, you will see elephant paper. This is produced in the museum, in conjunction with Wrocław Zoo. The zoo supplies the raw material, elephant waste. The animal eats large quantities of straw and twigs and softens them instead of thoroughly digesting them, thus functioning as a biological pulp mill. Elephant paper is a favorite souvenir for tourists visiting the museum, and we encourage you to purchase some. It's a one-of-a-kind product. Please take the stairs to the floor below. Welcome to the papermaking room. This is the final stop on our audio guide tour. Let's go to the railing that separates us from the production workshop below. Paper has been produced in this place using traditional methods for over 450 years. Workshops where you can make sheets of paper yourself are also held here. As you know, the mill first obtained pulp from rags torn into shreds. Cellulose is the material now used. There is a pile of white cellulose sheets by the large grey machine to your left. This is known as a Hollander beater, and it is used to grind cellulose into pulp. Water, glue, filler, and sometimes dye are included in addition to cellulose fibres. The pulp slurry is poured into the vat of the papermaking machine and diluted. There are two display vats just under the barrier. The slurry is immersed in the vat and the pulp taken to the sheet mould. The water is drained and freshly created paper forms on the surface of the mould. This is very delicate and the worker cannot take his or her hands off it. The mould is turned over and the paper carefully deposited on a felt cloth and covered with another felt divider. During this phase, a great deal of care has to be taken to ensure that not a single drop of water falls on the paper, as it can leave a permanent mark. This is known as a papermaker's tear and is considered a defect. Work continues until there is a pile of 90 to 120 sheets. The water is then squeezed out of the pile by a press. The felt dividers stop the sheets from being glued together. The water used to be squeezed out by wooden screw presses. These can be seen to the right of the vat. Cast iron presses, such as the grey hydraulic press at the back of the room, are now used. The whole process is completed by taking the sheets to the drying loft, where they are left to dry out over a period of 1 to 3 days. The paper is used to make unique stationery, notepads, and other souvenirs. We encourage you to purchase some in the museum shop. We have now come to the end of our visit. Thank you for your attention, and goodbye for now.